Omaha Public Radio presents another program from the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce on Noon Forum. We'll hear highlights from the 2016 Chamber of Commerce Annual Meeting, including the presentation of several awards to Omaha business executives and organizations, the Chairman's Award of Excellence, the Headliner of the Year, and the Volunteer of the Year. The program will conclude with the keynote address, which this year will be an interview with former United States Senator from Nebraska and former United States Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel. Mr. Hagel will be interviewed by Mike McCarthy, chairman of the McCarthy Group, LLC. The theme of this year's annual meeting is Second to None, celebrating the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce as the winner of the 2015 Chamber of the Year Award, presented by the Association of Chamber of Commerce Executives. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Tuesday afternoon, February 9th, 2016, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is David Brown, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce.
So I've been chairing at the Association of Chamber of Commerce Execs, a task force called the Horizons Initiative, which is looking out over the next 25 years to try and find those influences that will change our communities and change the way chambers operate around the world. And one of the things that I particularly focus on is the level of leadership that chambers of commerce need to provide in their community. And we've coined the term catalytic leadership. Catalytic leadership starts with vision. And the vision that frankly speaks to what we will be as an organization rather than what we will do as an organization. Now, the chamber's vision statement, any one of our staff could tell you. Should I ask one of them to do it? They're all saying, no. The chamber's vision is to be the catalyst organization to ensure that Greater Omaha is a vibrant place to do business, work, and live. And the key words in that vision are catalyst, first off, which forewarns all of you as members and all of you as community leaders that as a catalyst organization, we expect to cause change to happen. Call it what you will, ruffling feathers, breaking eggs, changing the paradigm, thinking outside the box, whatever you want to call it, we're telling you right up front because of our vision that our goal is to be that organization that can cause positive change in this community. The next key word is ensure, which tells us that we are committed to doing this. Everything that we do, every decision that we make should be about making sure positive change is happening in our marketplace and in our community. And then finally, vibrant, that definitive quality word that says, what kind of a place do we want to all call home? What kind of a place do we want to live? So if you think about how we engage as a catalytic organization, we're about initiating and sustaining change. It's not simple. It requires a really committed leadership that says we're occasionally going to get into a tussle publicly and privately. Occasionally, we're going to bark up against the status quo because it's the right thing to do and it's the right thing for the community. It requires a committed and talented staff that not just isn't engaged in just responding to change, but also helping our members manage through change, even change that we might cause ourselves or with our partners. It requires community leaders that see a brighter future for our region. And for us, that leadership is vested in both our staff, but most importantly in our board of directors and our leaders from that board. So, if we're going to be a catalytic organization, we're going to tell you about the kinds of things that we actually caused to celebrate change this year in 2015. And I've got a couple of our leaders that are going to help me do that. Tim Burke, who is our Vice Chair for Economic Development, will be coming up. Leslie Anderson, who is our Public Policy Chair for the past several years, but is also the Chair-Elect for our Board of Directors. And then Ariel Roblin, who is our more than able and spirited leader of our membership team, will be helping me kind of walk through our successes for 2015. So one of our greatest values as an organization is our ability to create connections. During 2015, we brought face-to-face more than 8,400 people to connect and forge relationships, enhancing personal lives, businesses, and our community. From our Hear Omaha summer concert series to flying drones at the Generate event to visiting area startups through Corn Stalks on Tour, the avenues to find your fit and connect were intentionally as unique and diverse as our members themselves.
From Fortune 500s to the neighborhood mom-and-pop stores, Our members can count on us to be a steady ally in growing their business and our community. In 2015, we landed 83 projects, resulting in more than 4,100 jobs and creating more than $686 million in fresh capital investment. We are growing our region through programs and initiatives such as Thrive and Reach, deploying comprehensive strategies to expand our workforce and establish ourselves as a leader in agriculture, defense, finance, and tech talent.
A community's most prized assets are the people, and ours are second to none. Developing our region's workforce and creating avenues to get involved for the betterment of our members' businesses and for our community are key pieces to furthering our region and strong business community. Every member has a different need or challenge to address, and our offerings seek to develop, inspire, and make a difference.
As a catalyst organization, we seek to ignite change, rallying together to create a strong business climate through advocacy, developing future elected officials, and supporting our military base. In this together, we're continually collaborating to move our community forward, working with the Omaha Municipal Land Bank to return vacant properties to productive use, and increasing awareness about the greater Omaha area, and by telling and showing the world that in Omaha, we don't coast.
So I hope that gives you a good glimpse of last year. If you'd like to see more hard numbers and details, our end of the year work program and annual report is available on omahachamber.org/AM/AM. We're doing the kitchen, I guess, dear, backsplashing it. One of the traditional elements of our annual meeting is one of the most important, recognizing individuals and organizations who've strengthened our chamber and our community. So with the help of our 2015 Chamber Chairman, Clark Lauritsen. Clark, thanks for joining me. We have three awards to hand out today. Our first, the Chairman's Award of Excellence, celebrates an individual who has produced exceptional chamber membership sales and retention results. And this year's honoree is Phil Moyer, First National Bank. Let's give Phil a round of applause. Phil continually produced throughout the year, week after week. He's been instrumental to our membership success. Now, you may recall that virtually all of our sales are done by a volunteer group called the President's Club. They meet every week, and they're selling hundreds and hundreds of memberships for us. After 18 years in the President's Club, Phil celebrated earning his fifth Honorary Life Membership Award this past year, which means 51 new members sold in a 12-month period. Phil, thanks for your strong leadership and production. Would you like to say a few words?
Thanks. Congratulations. First of all, I'd like to thank the Chamber of Commerce for recognizing me for this award. I'm honored and very grateful, and appreciate the recognition. Thank you very much. Also, would like to thank my employer, First National Bank. They've allowed me to be a volunteer for the Omaha Chamber. The backing and support they've given me and letting me do this during the tenure of my chamber career has been great. Thank you very much. And to my fellow volunteers of the President's Club, some are in attendance today, and the membership staff at the Chamber, I want to say thank you to you as well and for your support and motivation for me to succeed. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks, Phil. We appreciate what you do for Omaha and for the Chamber. Thank you. Our next award, the Headliner of the Year, is given to an organization that has positively impacted Omaha and Nebraska's image. It should be no surprise that this year's winner is the University of Nebraska Medical Center, as they've made an indelible impression across the globe. Dr. Jeffrey Gold will accept on their behalf. Let's give him a round of applause. When an Ebola scare gripped the world, the University of Nebraska Medical Center was on the front lines, a critical resource and leader in the world's fight against Ebola and other infectious diseases. As UNMC provided care and containment, research and training to top hospitals and medical centers throughout the country, it raised awareness of Omaha as a center for medical excellence and innovation. I know they did more, but the pages won't separate. President Obama has even highlighted and praised UNMC's work with the Ebola virus on multiple occasions, including just recently when he was here in town. It's my privilege to present Dr. Jeremy Gold, Chancellor of UNMC, with the Medical Center's Headliner of the Year Award. Dr. Gold, please say a few words.
Well, thanks so much for the Chamber for this incredible honor. I really stand here to represent an amazing team of women and men who have dedicated more than 10 years of their life to building the finest biocontainment unit in the world to protect not only our community, but our nation. We are really pleased today to accept this award. The amount of television audiences, print impressions, etc., have exceeded 1.5 billion instances over the last year and a half, which is hard to believe the outreach of this event. Seated in this room is Dr. Phil Smith. Phil, if you don't mind standing just for 1 second to give us a chance to thank him. Phil is the founder, is the inspirational force, has been the backbone of this effort, and of course it always takes a village, but that village always has a leader. Phil, thank you very much, and thanks to the Chamber for this.
Thanks, Dr. Gold, and congratulations again to the Med Center. Our final award this afternoon is our Volunteer of the Year. It recognizes a person who really goes above and beyond, offering so much of their time and effort to the Chamber and to the betterment of the community. It's my pleasure to invite Liz Mazzotta with Mutual of Omaha to join me to receive her award. We applaud Liz for her commitment to our talent initiative. Liz spearheads a group of human resource executives that worked hard to develop a tech talent strategy for our community that accelerates workforce growth and connects skilled workers with job openings. Liz also provided key assistance in our community's response to assist recently laid off workers, which has helped keep our friends and neighbors employed and our local businesses growing. Liz, your engagement with the Chamber is incredible, and it's our pleasure to recognize you for your efforts. Please share a few words with us.
Thank you. I'd like to thank the Chamber Board, distinguished guests, our Mutual of Omaha team, my family and friends, for this great honor here. David mentioned the Tech Talent Initiative, and I just have to do one shout-out, and that's to the group of 100 strong that are working on this strategy. It includes our superintendents, our educators, our business community, tech company owners, civic organizations, Metro Community College, our universities, philanthropy, the Chamber, and the AIM Institute, all working together to increase the number of tech talent workers that we have that are so important to all of our organizations. So thank you to the Chamber.
And while we're giving accolades, I would be remiss if I didn't take some time to thank Clark Lordson, who's been my boss for 2015, for all of his leadership this past year. I'll never forget last November, Clark and I were kind of talking what to expect in 2015. And he said, you know, it'd be great. We're going to have a real non-controversial year. Things are going to move along swimmingly. We're just going to keep growing the Chamber and worry about economic development, and that's all that's going to be on the plate. Think back about it, just a few things that happened in 2015. It didn't quite work out the way we had planned. But despite that, when Clark took over as board chairman, we had these huge goals in front of us. And because of his guidance and leadership, we can celebrate a year of high honors, collaborative achievement, and challenges that we confronted in ways that other chambers across the country can't even dream of. Clark, thank you, thank you, thank you for all you do every day to support the Chamber and your commitment to Omaha's growth and development. Let's give Clark a round of applause. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
I really
thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you. Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, David. It was a great honor to have the opportunity to lead our chamber as your chairman in 2015. And I have to say, it's not many chairmen. In fact, I can't think of any who have had the opportunity to be chairman while we were the National Chamber of the Year. And what an incredible honor that was for me and for the entire organization. So,
Clark, hold on a second, Clark. Since you are the only chairman that's ever been the chairman of the chamber when we were Chamber of the Year, and since I never intend to put the staff through another application process for Chamber of the Year, you may have the singular pleasure to be the only one ever to have been the Chamber of the Chamber for 2015. So we thought it appropriate that we would give you your own Chamber of the Year trophy, a replica of the one that we got as the Chamber, with our special thanks for your leadership.
Wow, thank you.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
I'll take that.
That feels like the Lombardi Trophy. Well, I just want to say a few words briefly. It was an extraordinary year, and I want to thank everyone, in particular the volunteers of the Chamber, who give so much of their time and talents to this organization and make it what it is. And I also want to thank our incredible staff. I got to know many of the staff at the Chamber over the past year, and you'll never meet a more engaged group of people, more dedicated and more uplifting than our Chamber staff. They're just incredible. And it's because of them and because of the volunteers that we were able to achieve so many of our goals in 2015. I was thrilled that with Tim Burke and Randy Thielen's leadership, we were able to achieve many of our economic development goals, in fact, in many cases, to exceed them. With Ariel's leadership and Ann Brannigan and Diane Poots, we were able to establish a very ambitious membership goal, which was incredible. And then, of course, with Leslie and Jen's leadership on the public policy front, many of our public policy goals were achieved. So it was an incredible year. But what I learned throughout the year and what I'm most proud of is not the goals that we accomplished or the numbers that we were able to achieve or hitting the budget, but it was the way that we responded to challenges as an organization. And it's the way that this community responds to those challenges. I watched people on this board and around this organization put aside personal interests and come to the table to address a lot of unforeseen challenges in 2015. And every time they showed up, it was a question being asked: how can I help? What can I do? What can I do for the greater good of this community and the vision of what we can become and how we can collaborate? And that's why we're the greatest chamber in the United States, and that's why we don't coast. And I'm so proud to have been your chairman. So thank you for that honor. I really appreciate it. Now, very much in that spirit of service, dedication, and collaboration, it's my great pleasure to welcome an extraordinary Nebraska leader here today. Many of you know Chuck Hagel and his distinguished record of service to our country, but some of you may not know that Chuck, prior to his entry into politics, was a businessman, and a very good one at that. Of course, he then went on to serve in two terms in the United States Senate from Nebraska, and then as the United States Secretary of Defense, the first Vietnam combat veteran to serve in that role. He is a principled leader, a tireless worker, and I know so much of what he's done has made so many of us so proud of Chuck. We're also honored to have another extraordinary leader here today to interview Chuck, and that is our very own Mike McCarthy, who was Greater Omaha Chamber Chairman in 1999, as he reminded me this morning. So I think we're going to have a lot of fun. I'm grateful that both Chuck and Mike have agreed to do this, and I think we'll hear a wonderful discussion on the state of affairs today, on leadership, and on the future of our great country and state. So with that, I'd like to welcome Chuck Hagel and Mike McCarthy to the stage.
Thank you. I'm glad they got a tall chair for a short guy. So, you know, Secretary Hagel came to Omaha about 25 years ago. It wasn't long before he was on the chamber board. He made McCarthy and Company much more successful than it would have been. But since then, he's been around the world on the stage, oftentimes a major player. And Chuck, if you'd talk to us maybe about what one, two, three things most changed the world over the last 25 years.
Mike, thank you, and I will answer your question. But first, let me acknowledge the Omaha Chamber of Commerce for what you have done, continue to do, what you mean to this community. And as I sat and listened to the recognitions and some of the many achievements last year, it really reminded me again of the tremendous blessings of this state and the strength of this community. And we all know that without leadership, without commitment, without believing in things, things just don't happen. And this community really deserves a lot of credit. Something Clark said, and I do want to work that into my answer here too, it's about response. Every state, every community, every generation deals with great challenges, new challenges, and most are more complicated than past challenges, but it's all how you respond. And this community has been exceptional over the years of responding, and not just responding, but actually taking the event and the challenge and doing something with it and making it better. So to David and all of you who have done so much, and everybody here, and the continuing effort and leadership you put into this, thank you for all of us. It makes anyone who is from Nebraska, and I am, I lived actually in 10 towns, 7 before I graduated from high school, which wasn't altogether a political liability when you're running statewide. Hometown boy runs for office. Who in the hell is that? And, but anyway, I want to say that, Mike. Now, to your question. You know, just a cursory reading of history tells us that today's gone. Tomorrow really is gone. And everything is always about the future. And everyone in this room understands that in your personal life, your business life, everything you have responsibility for. And so it shouldn't be a particular shock to us that we're seeing a world order now change dramatically. And I think the events that probably, in Churchill's immortal words, were the jolting gongs of those change, I would say that this world order that we, the United States, built with our allies the 10 years after World War II is now shifting. And it's changing. And probably what began that in a dramatic way was the implosion of the Soviet Union in 1989. And the 3 years that followed, and the Soviet Union was gone in essentially 3 years. That was a dramatic shift in the world order. We had never seen anything like it. I suspect at the same time, through the 90s and then through the first decade of this century, the astounding, unprecedented change in the world due to technology. Technology shifted, changed everything, and it still is at an unprecedented rate. The rate of change is historic. More specific events that played into that, I think 9/11, the attack on the United States, certainly framed up a new dimension in threats. And it shook this country terribly. And I remember that day vividly, as you all do. And I was in the United States Senate at the time. I think the invasion of Iraq in 2003 was a catalyst that unleashed forces in the Middle East that we're dealing with today. Those I would identify, Mike, as probably defining dynamics of what has brought us to where we are today. But fundamentally, we've got to realize that world orders don't last. And I would just add one last point on the world order that we have all lived through. Most people in this room were born during World War II or after World War II. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means this. Our frame of reference has been a world where America has completely dominated the world in every way. We have called the shots. And the last part of my answer in regard to what I just said is that historically we've never seen such a diffusion of economic power as we're doing now. There's hardly anybody in this room that doesn't deal with international affairs. Your business is overseas, and we are now all 7 billion people on the face of the earth. We are all global citizens living in a global community underpinned by a global economy. And it's not going to get any less complicated. We're going to put 2 billion more people on the face of the earth, according to demographers, in the next 30 years. That's astounding to think of that. Think of jobs. Think of hope. Think of all that's going to be required to accommodate 2 billion more people with the things that are going to be necessary. So we can do it. And I would end this way. We must not discount the tremendous progress we've made in the last 50 years. What the University of Nebraska Medical Center has done, continues to do. Every dimension of our lives in science, in medicine, in space, it's historic. And we must be careful not to dismiss that. Let's build on that, because we have more challenges today, more complicated challenges, but we have more capacity to deal with those challenges than any time in the history of man. And it's really up to us. It's really up to us. And this nonsense about America being a second-rate, third-rate power, come on. There is no country on earth that's near us. That doesn't mean it's always going to be that way. We can screw it up. It isn't going to be China that changes it. China's a world power. Of course it's a world power. Let's be smart. Let's embrace it. Let's engage it. Let's use it to our advantage. We can do that. So let's not run from it. Let's not whine about it. Let's not scare America that we're a second and third rate power. Come on. We're not a second or third rate power. So let me stop there and go on wherever you want to go.
You know, Chuck can't hardly wait to lead. He just starts out from that position. That's probably why he cashed in that Buick and started this wireless telephone company that became Vanguard Cellular and brought him to Omaha ultimately. So we heard a lot about leadership today, and I'd like to take this in a more personal level. Chuck's the first patriot I've ever met, the first person who really thought the country was more important than he was. And that started probably before he was in Vietnam, but it continued when he worked in the VA and had a big fight over Agent Orange, and when he was in the Senate. I can't even remember all the fights he had there. And then as a Secretary of Defense. So Chuck, if you would, maybe reflect on leadership and the challenges and struggles and what it's meant to you personally and what advice you'd have for the rest of us.
Well, I'm not near wise enough to give anybody any advice, but since you ask. Everyone in this room understands leadership, and everyone in this room understands leadership from the ground up. And I've always believed that that probably starts, and as you know, my dear friend, who is a very learned man in literature in many areas of the world and life, I don't often quote Shakespeare, and almost it'd be sacrilegious. I know he'd believe that if I was spouting Shakespearean drama. But to answer your question, I've always thought leadership was as well defined by Polonius's comment, "To thine own self be true." Mm-hmm. And that's where you start, "To thine own self be true." And I've never seen or heard or read anything that better defines leadership than that, because everything works from there. And I think the second part of that is understand your responsibilities. Your responsibilities are not to you. Your responsibilities are to those you lead. And probably the greatest responsibility a leader has is yes, the immediate, the problem today. But a bigger responsibility is preparing that institution for when you leave. And another great quote that always comes to mind is coming from all people, Charles de Gaulle, who was not exactly a bashful fellow about his own capacities, as many of you know, when he once said about great men and great women, and he said, "Just always remember, the graveyard is full of indispensable men." And I've always thought that's a pretty good way to say it. So you were in your jobs, and we're in our jobs and our lives and our privileges that we have at a very fleeting time in history. The jobs I've had have been tremendous privileges for me and honors, but I always took them seriously, if for no other reason than how do you prepare when you leave? And you never know for sure when you leave. But I think just the same fundamentals of life, as far as what I've learned in leadership, how do you apply it? It's also about your personal life, too. I know there are those who think that you can separate your personal and your public life or your professional life. It's pretty hard to do that, and I think you cheat everybody, starting with yourself, when you do that. Balance your life as well as you can, because I don't think you can be as good a person or a leader unless you do that. These are pretty basic things. I know everybody knows them, but I think we tend to, especially in a day when there's so much drama, there's so much technology, there's so many management experts and management books. Let's just go back to who you are. It's all about people, and never forget that. That's what I've tried to do, and as many mistakes as I've made in everything I've ever done, I've tried to always reorient to people. It's people. No matter how smart the machines are or anything, in the end, it is people, and I hope it'll always be that way.
Chuck, can you tell us a little bit about the people in the Department of Defense, the people you worked with for a couple of years, and then reflect on perhaps the leadership around the world, some of the challenges that they were dealing with? Help us understand that a little better.
Mike, I would go back to an earlier comment about the complexities of our world today and the complications. And I, on more than one occasion, told President Obama, this is about, as in my opinion, as difficult a time to lead any government or any nation that I've seen in my lifetime since World War II. And I think you have to understand that if you're a leader, and it reflects what's going on in the world. You look at democracies across the world today in Europe, they're all coalition governments. Chancellor Merkel, who I think is one of the most significant leaders of our time, may be thrown out of office and is being undermined now by her own party because of the chaos in Syria and the Syrian refugees. That's just another example of how what happens in Syria and what's happening in the drama and the chaos and the butchery and savagery being played out there is really affecting the European Union, the relationships. It's fraying the bonds of the European Union, which is very dangerous. Plus, Turkey's in the middle of that, but that's another part of the story. But every leader today in the world is having difficulty leading. And it's also part because we have essentially bifurcated so much of our society. You look at our media today, any part of our society, any aspect of our society, we have narrowed and specialized so much of what we do. And we need a specialist. Look at television stations and cable television. So if you're a conservative Republican, this is your range. You're going to most likely you'll be playing with the dial over here. If you're a liberal Democrat, you'll be over here. And what that does, it tends to push us away from each other, because you tune in to those you agree with and you associate with and say, yeah, that's right. And these people are idiots over here that don't agree with me. And that is developing. You're seeing it in our presidential politics, unfortunately, today, and in our other politics, an absolutism that's very dangerous. I'm absolutely right, absolutely all the time, and you're absolutely wrong all the time. So there's no compromise. I mean, why would I sit down and talk with you, because you're so wrong and I'm so right? Democracies can't work that way, and I think it's a reflection of what's happened in Washington. We have a paralyzed government. And I think we'll find a new center of gravity, because America is just too good. And I think the environment we've got today, where people are so upset with their government and with politicians and Washington, I get all that. I get it. But the way to fix that is not just burn it down and then say outrageously crazy, irresponsible things. The way to fix it is like anything else. Present responsible ways to fix it and go fix it. But I understand the anger out there, and it is palpable. It is real. I get it. It's there. So we'll come back around. But I think it all adds into your question, Mike, that actually some of the general questions you've asked already.
So we're going to try and take a question or two from the audience. But before we do that, for us, you know, poor Midwestern business people, you got any practical advice for trying to make a living as we go around the world, help this chamber group be as prosperous as Omaha has always been?
Well, I would say this. Everybody in the room knows it. You have to stay relevant. Every institution has to be relevant to the society of our day and what you think is coming. And how do you adjust to that? You're adjusting foreign policy. You're adjusting your products. You're studying your market, market analysis. You're adjusting what you think you need. Stay relevant. That's in community activities. The mayor's here. She deals with this every day. Try to stay ahead of it. Anticipate as much as you can. Where are the pockets of problems? Where are they today? But another great quote that I like to use occasionally is Wayne Gretzky's comment when he was asked, why were you one of the greatest hockey players of all time? He said, I don't know if I was a great hockey player, but I did have one principle on the ice, always. I always tried to skate where I thought the puck would be, not where the puck was. And I think that's good advice for all of us. Stay relevant, stay focused, anticipate, but do it right. Yeah. Do it right. There are no shortcuts. There's one other principle to it all, and it applies to everything in life. It's character, and that's where you start. And it will come out if you don't have it, or if you try to short circuit that character. Lincoln had it. You can fool some of the people some of the time, all of the people some of the time, but not all the people all the time.
Thank you.
And thank God for that in this country. And that's one of our greatest strengths.
Yeah. Questions? Anybody got a question? Yes. So the question is, what advice might Secretary Hagel have for young people just beginning their careers so they could make continuous progress? Yeah.
A couple of things. Try it all. Don't be intimidated or afraid of anything. And don't be stupid about it, but because you'll find yourself in a ditch pretty fast. And don't make the big mistakes. Easy to say. But I think engage and find ways to reach out and find ways to have a little fun with what you're doing. But a purpose. And it doesn't come easy for young people. I mean, I went to five colleges before I got out of one, and I'm very proud that UNO let me out. Standards were much lower, John. And I hope you're not offended I'm a graduate, try to develop a purpose for yourself, personally and professionally, but try a little of everything. Stay engaged and engage in different things. Listen to people. It's the biggest problem I think leaders have today, and we all do. None of us ever listen enough. We just don't. And you know, there's a great proverb about a rabbi. You know this among many, but I don't know if it's biblical or Talmudic or Quranic or where it came from. But God gave us two ears and one mouth, and He did that for one reason. Listen more, talk less. And that's pretty good advice, not just for young people, all people. Last point I'd make, and this is so important, at least I think it is, had been for me, always associate with good people, especially your friends. You will be influenced by your friends and your environment more than you have any idea. Certainly you are with your family. My brother Mike is here today. Now, nothing I can do about my family. God gave it to me. But I would choose him, actually, if I had a choice. So, But friends, associate only with the best people as friends and the best people in business or any walk of life that you're going to be in. Now, you're going to have to deal with all kinds of people, but that'd be my advice.
So we're going to have to wind it up, but you got anything else, Chuck, you want to finish up with here today?
Well, everybody has to go back to work, so but do real work and real jobs. But just maybe one thing, as I started my conversation here this afternoon, the fact, and I used to say this as I go all over the world, the 20 years, it was 20 years ago, as you know, because Ken Stinson was my campaign chairman. You were nice enough to let me take a leave of absence. By the way, since I left McCarthy 20 years ago, he has soared like a rocket. It was never successful like that when I was president. But I just couldn't be prouder of being from this state with these people than I am and always was. And everywhere I'd go in the world, and I've got probably a number of former staff here, Tom Jansen, Luann Linehan, and others. I used to kid no matter where I'd go, and I've been to a lot of countries and met leaders and a lot of people. I used to say, I'm from Nebraska. You know where that is. That's the center of the universe. And that would befuddle some, but I always really believed that. It is the center of the universe. It's the center of America, and I just think people think a little clearer, and doesn't mean we're better than people. It doesn't mean we're smarter than anybody. And I respect everybody, and everybody has to always respect cultures and history. And we don't want to forget that either. But I just wanted you to know I couldn't be prouder of where I'm from and the time I had to serve this state.
Thank you.
Chuck, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Michael, get on the second.
Thank you. Thank you, David.
So there are lots of stories about Chuck and his sensitivity and his commitment to people and his willingness to talk to other folks and do things for people. And I have one small story. When I first got the job here in Omaha, I was living in South Carolina still, and we had just announced that I'd gotten the job. Literally the day before, we made the announcement. We got on the plane, and Maggie and I went back home. And I'm out in the yard doing yard work, and Maggie comes out and says, "There's some guy from Nebraska, says he's a U.S. senator, wants to talk to you." So I'm like, "Yeah, right." So I pick up the phone. "Hello, this is David. Hi, this is U.S. Senator Chuck Hagel, just saying, welcome to Omaha. We're really glad to have you. Let me know how I can help." So the very first phone call that I got congratulating me was from you, Senator.
Thank you.
And I really do appreciate that. So on behalf of you being here today and recognition of your time with us, we have made a contribution to the U.S. Senator Chuck Hagel Archives Fund of University of Nebraska Foundation.
Thank you.
I'd also like to present you this uniquely Omaha book, which is the newest book from the World Herald, and I think you're in here somewhere. So thank you very much for being
here.
Thank you. Stay on stage for one more second.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
And Mike, I don't get the chance to say thank you enough for all the things that you do for Omaha. Thanks for being here today, and here's a small token of our appreciation. Thank you.
I'll take that with me.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.
So,
did you want me up here?
Yeah, please stay here, Chuck. So if you'd stay here for just one second. About a decade ago, the Chamber and the Better Business Bureau and Creighton University came together to create a unique organization across the country called the Business Ethics Alliance. And it's focused on providing positive, practical business ethics and examples to companies around the world. To present a special award on behalf of the Alliance, I'd like to welcome Bev Crocker from the Business Ethics Alliance to the stage. Bev?
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you.
I will.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
I'm very excited. Isn't this a great day? Let's take it up a notch. Anyway.
Thank you.
The Beacon of Ethics Award is bestowed on individuals who have exhibited lifelong dedication to integrity and civic responsibility while guiding others towards ethical excellence. Since its inception in 2009, the Beacon has been bestowed on a number of dignitaries, including William Bennett, Madeleine Albright, Mary Robinson, Muhammad Yunus, the list goes on. Today, Secretary Chuck Hagel, we offer you our Beacon of Ethics Award.
Thank you.
Your service to our country, your dedication to our military and their family, and your commitment to transparency and ethical leadership, all of those show your strong ethical values. We are so proud to call you Nebraskan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Did they get a picture here? You want to get a picture? Well, thank you, dear. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Congratulations, David. Chuck. Thanks again for being here. There's a plaque right there for it.
Okay.
Okay. So now it's time to welcome a new voice to the stage, my new boss. I've been in this business 33 years. I've had a new boss every year. Try that one on for size. For me, it's been one of the most endearing parts of this job, trying to figure out exactly what we can do to make things even better with new leaders every year. George Little is our chairman of the board for 2016. George, 2015 was a great year. We know we can get a lot done this year. Looking forward to working with you. Please welcome George Little, our leader for 2016. Thanks, George.
Well, I'll keep my comments short. I know we're running short on time. But first of all, I'd like to thank David's son that really kicked this off. I told David when I was talking to him a couple of months ago, I only had one requirement for this meeting, and that was to hear Elijah sing. And he is truly special. So thank you, David. Thank you, Clark. Clark's a good friend. I got a feeling that sometime we'll be on the golf course this year, and he'll bring up that trophy to me. So thanks, Clark. Thanks for your leadership. What a great effort it took to really have a successful award-winning year, as we've talked about. I also want to thank the staff, the volunteers, and our members. This year is well underway, and there's a lot we have to accomplish. Our economic development agenda is focused on retaining and growing jobs. We need to keep the companies we have while bringing new employers to the city of Omaha. And there are various components to making that happen. We need to continue the progress from last year on tax reform for our state. A statewide task force developed a plan for our income tax system. Our current income tax rate hurt us with corporate site selections, can be a disincentive for some to move here for jobs. And they do drive away many retirees that take their income and their spending to other states. One thing we will be doing this year is to do more to quantify how this is really costing us and what we can do about it in the future. Our economic development incentives under LB 775 and the Nebraska Advantage Act have served us well for almost 30 years. Other states have evolved their economic incentives and are competing harder than ever for jobs, and we need to do the same. We'll start a process this year to evaluate how the system is working and what can be done next year and beyond. On another topic, I'd like to have a serious discussion on how we address and fund our future transportation needs. No one likes new taxes, but in transportation, it's pretty simple. It's pay me now or pay me later, and later is a lot more expensive. Just one example is many states have had to replace hundreds of bridges in a short period of time, and I don't want to see our state get to that situation. It's very expensive when that happens. Obviously, we have many other significant transportation needs, but it really gets down to a good communication plan with the public and them understanding where our funds come from. It's gas taxes and a few other taxes, but if those are not there, our transportation system crumbles and it falls apart. I also want to emphasize how important your help will be this year to make the Political Action Campaign membership drive successful. Our members will be receiving more information soon, and it's necessary for us to increase the size of our PAC and the number of members participating regardless of the amount. Providing a strong voice on our issues and educating our policymakers is more critical than ever, with decisions on taxes and economic incentive programs facing us over the next few years. We know what we can do when we pull together. We accomplish amazing things. So no coasting, only momentum going forward. Congratulations again to our award winners, and thanks to our sponsors once again, Blue Cross and Blue Shield, Nebraska, McGrath North, Mutual of Omaha, and Wells Fargo for their support of this event, along with everything that you do for the Chamber every day. And with that, thank you. We are adjourned.
You've been listening to a program from the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce on Noon Forum. We've heard highlights from the 2016 Chamber of Commerce annual meeting, including the presentation of several awards to Omaha business executives and organizations, the Chairman's Award of Excellence, presented to Phil Moyer, Second Vice President of First National Bank of Omaha, the Headliner of the Year, presented to the University of Nebraska Medical Center, and the Volunteer of the Year, this year received by Liz Mazzotta, Vice President of Human Resources at Mutual of Omaha. The program concluded with the keynote address, which this year was an interview with former United States Senator from Nebraska and former United States Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel. Mr. Hagel was interviewed by Mike McCarthy, chairman of the McCarthy Group, LLC. The theme of this year's annual meeting was Second to None, celebrating the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce as the winner of the 2015 Chamber of the Year, presented by the Association of Chamber of Commerce Executives. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Tuesday afternoon, February 9, 2016, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Jane McCain, Special Events Senior Coordinator at the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce, for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 600 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.